shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence, and especially, Lord, the word of greetings you have given us, and the word of hope and promise, which we know are sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant, ratifying by life-giving, so that life could come back upon us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We realize that we mouth these words and we know them in our minds that they are true. And we know in our heart they are true because this is a matter today of live or die, or swim or drown, as Brother Branham said. And yet we know that it doesn't mean as much to us in the sense of illuminated revelation as it did to Brother Branham, who was so consumed by it that it was simply everything to him. But Lord, we realize that you have not left us undone. The word of promise is absolutely sent by you and will accomplish what it was sent for to accomplish, not returning void, but returning that same word to you and we with it, and that word in us, and then back to you in a glorious way. So, Father, may no one ever give way to emotions or experiences or any of those things which could possibly take the place of thus saith the Lord, the word of the living God, the living word within us today, and we living by it and because of it. May that never cease from our hearts and minds, but know when we stand and stand firm even unto death. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I think we'll be able to pretty well cover the all the questions except one, which I laid a foundation for when I talked about God and his attributes, and showing you one God and in what actually resided within him. And it was from the beginning, and shall be not at the end, but nor to the end, but without end. It's eternal, never had a beginning or an ending. So, remember last night when we talked to you, it mentioned specifically that some of these questions are not answered directly from Brother Branham, which is thus saith the Lord, but they are questions that were asked because of certain things that he said. And I always do my best to go to the Bible for you based upon what Brother Branham said and see if we can possibly come up with something which is an answer in the sense that it gives you an understanding this far that Brother Branham never ever made a mistake or spoke out of turn. And usually we can find the answer in the Bible, but sometimes you are a little bit unable to get certain elements in proper place. Now, Brother Branham made the same statement that Schofield made. In fact, he used a lot of material that the greater scholars used because you know that the seals corrected the errors. It wasn't that Brother Branham had to write a new Bible or write a book. It was simply the errors were corrected, and when the correction was made, then you had a perfect revelation. So there were those who believed in eternal security, and Brother Branham said, yes, that is true, but based upon what? And then we came forth with the understanding of predestination, and Brother Branham carried that far beyond anything anybody ever wrote, even greater than Dr. Pink. Although Dr. Pink did write a tremendous book on the sovereignty of God, perhaps the greatest book ever written on that particular subject. He also showed where the Armenian, there was an Armenian branch and a Calvinistic branch, and he showed what was correct in each one and what was wrong. So by the time Brother Branham corrected the through the seals, the doctrinal errors, and gave us a real understanding of what the truth really was, such as your grace and works. He brought that out very carefully, even as those in Schofield's time and those great scholars brought out state and standing. What is your actual state? Well, what is the standing? Well, in the case of David, his actual standing before God was a man after God's own heart. Well, what was his condition? His state certainly wasn't up to his standing. A man that can couple another man's wife having 499 wives at least himself, and then that's against the word, then commit adultery, then kill. that did not alter his standing. His state was lousy. But he wasn't a sleazebag. Not as Israel tries to make him now. So Brother Branham brought all that out to the point that Brother Branham could even say, the seals is Christ. And Christ is the Word. And so you see the perfect revelation of Christ from the mind of God, and you can actually get to the texture of God. That's a good word, whether you might like it or not. It's a good word. The texture of God is Spirit. And the intrinsicality, essentiality, what really is that Spirit? What? Tell me about it. Can God unveil His mind to me? Can God reveal to me? Can He tell me? Yes, He certainly can. And you can even get it by rote or by instruction, so that even without the Holy Ghost, you could know a tremendous amount about God. And absolutely without the Holy Ghost, have it down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But not having the life of God, it wouldn't do you any more good. In fact, it wouldn't do you good. It would place you in a point of condemnation, because him to knoweth to do right, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Then him to know what is right, and truly believe it not, to the point of revelation, live, die, swim, or drown, to him it is sin. So, when Brother Branham brings all these things out, we know that what he said was perfect. Even in so far when he said a prophet doesn't have to say everything that's in the Bible. He can say some of the things outside the Bible, and you believe him because he had thus said the Lord. And that's true. That has to do with events. And then when he said, even revealing, this prophet revealing, what was not known from before the foundation of the world, that's very true. Because nobody but nobody ever told you how the sun came into existence. And suns have beginnings. Suns are born. Nobody ever said so. What you found is people even saying today, which the letter came to me from New Zealand, from another place, that Jesus was in the mind of God and the expression came forth at the virgin birth. That is entirely fallacious. He was fully represented in and through Michael, and Michael being his sounding board, and Christ doing those works when he stood before the throne of God. But before there was a throne and those things there, the Son came forth from the Father as a part of God. And Brother Branham explains explicitly how that light formed and how the Son went through the acts of creation, and the Father standing back saying, that's great, that's wonderful. You don't find that anywhere. But if you don't believe it, you're not bright. Because it's thus saith the Lord. You have to realize how important thus saith the Lord is. It's everything. And you can't change it. You can pray to God, and if you're one of those pushers, which you could be, you could wiggle around it for a while. You could be like Hezekiah. Tell him he's going to die. Oh, God, I don't want to die. Okay, 18 years. And he blew it. You can wiggle and swiggle. But you can't change God in one word. Does God ever change his mind about his word? Never, 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 never. Now, I know there's a leeway, sort of what we think is a leeway in predestination. And that is where you prove your stewardship, your worth, and your mettle. Because certain things will come your way and my way. But always God dangles the carrot. Never forget there's a carrot on the stick. Never forget it. God always gives a promise, but before you and I get the promises of God, there is a certain path that every one of our feet must tread upon, and that is the path of faith. That is a path of trial. That is a path of error, if we're going to error. That is something where God tries us and tests us, and we come out as pure as gold. And that is missing today. You know why it's missing? Because the people are not going according to the Word. They're going according to their supposition, to their thinking, and all these other things that are simply a paraphernalia that have no use. And as people abide by that, they can reach out and ask for gifts and things, and God being good, Remember, the sun shines on the just and the unjust, the rain falls on the unjust. he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that love Him, and so on. But He'll give to the good and to the evil, to the just and unjust, right in there. And they will go their path. They will pay a price, absolutely, and they'll end up in perdition. You must be a word person. A word person is not just the lamp. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, or vice versa. It doesn't matter how it goes. The fact is it has to be revealed. Because anybody can take the word of God and make it work. Just like Brother Branham said, but when Eve said, I've gotten me a man from the Lord, he said, any vile woman of the worst degree could claim she had a child from God, because God set the pattern in order. See? So, all right, we can't sometimes give you an answer directly from the prophet as though he elaborated upon something. But many times we can find things in the scripture that point to you why Brother Branham would say that certain things like the devil we brought out was co-equal with God. That was in marriage and divorce. And we tried to show you the best we could how that co-equality was something that was a little, not exactly vague, but it was there in the sense of the very beginning. And we might just erase some of this stuff here. And, I can pretty well erase all of this here. Looks like it doesn't want, well, it'll be erased eventually. This is kind of like you're trying to get rid of your sins without the blood. So you can work day and night. Though, like the Bible said, though you use much nitre and soap, he said, can the leper change his spots? Forget it. You can soak him in a solution, take all the hair off the leper, give him a chance to grow more hair, he comes right back with those spots on him. So I gave you a good example of how this, don't try to do that. What you do is ask God to forgive you and cease from sin. Like, you know, there's a guy, he got certain champions among certain people that I think a lot of them, and I don't fuss at them, but they have an idea because this guy confessed his sin, and so therefore he's forgiven. Well, what if I confessed my sin and said, hey, you folk, listen, I'll tell you something. I did a dirty trick to Grace Gospel Church. I took a lot of their money. Well, let's not talk about money. Well, that could be part of it. Or I broke some windows in their building, and so, you know, I was a bad boy doing it. Then I say, God, I broke those windows. I'm sorry. I was in a snit of anger. Now, what if I go to all the world now and they say, I understand that you broke those windows. Oh, I didn't break any windows. That's a lie. Well, has God forgiven me? Is there forgiveness? Come on, now, let's be honest. We say, well, I believe He forgave you for the first sin, but He couldn't have forgiven you for the second sin. Well, what if he said that 80 times in a row? See, you've got to... Listen, you must be careful with God in His Word. Brother Branham preached on presuming, daring to tread in a place without a permission, without sanction. Presuming is nowhere to go. Okay, so I want to go back here with you and show you up here. We start up here with, just to try to give you a little better understanding, and I'm going to try to get through this morning of everything that we, all these questions, I can answer them quite easy. Now, in here, we find God, who is a healer, and He is a redeemer, and He is our righteousness, and He is our banner, and He is our peace, and He is our provider, and He is our sanctification, and in our banner, and everything down the line. So there's actually, it comes up to three, into threes, I suppose. That I'm pretty sure that's the way it actually works in the long run. I knew Brother Branham said seven, I found an eighth called sanctifier. There's one more down there. So we see Almighty God with all of these divine attributes, and on His right-hand side is Michael. And Michael is Jesus at that time. In other words, here's a created being, and he's an archangel. Never mind the lousy writing. You listen to me as I tell it. So here's God has created this being here, but from him came forth in birth this son. And remember, this son, Brother Branham said, was a light, a manifestation of that part of God, which part God wanted to be manifested and visible. So that light was there. Now this light goes into this person here, so now he's not only a light, it's a light within a created being, which is an archangel. And over here now, on the left-hand side of God, remember this is God, and his left hand is here, his right hand is here. So over here, we have Satan. And Satan is a cherub. And you'll notice that this cherub here, Satan, is positively the greatest creation that came through from God by the Son. And Jesus was the agent of creation. God, by Christ Jesus, created all things. Now, the Jesus-only people, and it's very easy to do this, I do it myself, can be very, very wrong in their surmising and their doctrine. And they say, Jesus is creator, God is creator, therefore Jesus is God. Hogwash. So you can get tripped up right there. That's why I say, if you fool with Jesus only, you're going to end up with the Elohim of God. Now, I'm not a prophet, but it's already come to me face to face in a talk with the daughter of a Jesus only minister. And she's quoting her daddy. You better believe if my kids were with me, they'd be quoting me. Your kids are quoting you. And you would end up with the Elohim of God. Jesus went back to God. Now he's in the bosom. He's one. Never mind. What about the body? They can't explain it. Let me tell you, if Jesus is not in a human body, you don't have a high priest. You don't have a mediator. You don't have an intercessor. You have cut your throat. Forget it. It's no longer live, die. It's death. Because you are not living. You just think you are. See, you deny the Son, then you deny the Father. You have one? Never, just one. You have to have both. Now read your scripture, and you'll find out that your mind has been taken over 100% by the devil. Sorry about that, but I'm not going to change this under any condition. Brother Branham said, Jesus was not his own father. And that is true. All right, this is the great creation up here. Now, he is not as great as this one. Yet, through creation, and in the sense of creation, and what can be produced simply by creation, he is much greater. He's much greater. Remember, Jesus, Brother Branham said, Satan wanted a kingdom greater than Michael's, right? More wonderful, more illustrious. And he was out to produce it. And at the end time, when John saw the church, he wondered with great amazement. He was struck by it. My, I can't believe it. It was Antichrist. Right? You bet. In other words, the bride looked like a little tabby cat bedraggled eating out of the garbage in the back alley alongside of the white Siberian tiger. Or Simba, the great lion in Africa. She looked pretty mousy. She never had the regality. He summed up all of creation. There was a sum. There was beauty. There was wisdom, etc., etc. Now listen to me. If he was engaged in worship, and this one was engaged in the worship, the leading of worship, which they were at that time, and God accepted it, then there is a beauty in creation that God will accept, but not above the beauty that lies in being a son. Now remember, there was no beauty in Jesus when they beheld him. He looked about 55 years of age and he's 30. Josephus brought that up. Brother Branham concurred. I didn't used to think that. I used to read the Artco volume, but I don't have any use for any book or anything anymore. And what Brother Branham said, forget it. He's vindicated. The rest of the guys are just a bunch of chumps in there trying to lead us astray or make us think they know something. But I want to bring this out. The sum of creation was in him. The beauty, the wisdom, knowledge, everything was in there. Everything was in there positively in worship. And here at this side, everything lay in here. So that God wanted both. That's why the trees of the field will clap their hands. And if man does not praise God, even the rocks will be raised up. And the inanimate will cry out. Because God is in nature. God is not nature, but he is in nature. And all the beauty that you see here, categorically, is of God. And there is nothing in nature. Even that which is hybridized. And it is hybridized. But remember, you cannot make hybrids without original life. How glorious must the Garden of Eden been when Satan came down and walked in Eden? How beautiful heaven must have been before he defiled it and had to take the blood to cleanse it. How glorious it is. As I said, John wondered at the end time church. Brother Branham brought that out. And he showed us that his wonderment was how marvelous. Like maybe you lived in a hut in India. And all you ever knew was the mud and the corruption and the filth of a street in India. With the cow dung up to your knees. And suddenly, you are transported before the Taj Mahal. You're like the little kid that Dr. Conan talks about. They made a test in Chicago. Little kids in the slums. And so, with dirty hands and filthy clothes. And the woman or man, whichever it was, led them to the florist shop. And in front of the florist shop in the window were the beautiful white lilies. And the little kids, one by one, put their hands, dirty hands, behind their backs. They were spellbound, they were awed, they were overwhelmed, they were compelled by the beautiful pure white lily as they saw their state. And I'm going to tell you something. David looked at the church and he saw them as spreading as a green bay tree. And you look around today at the Pentecostal chaff. They're overturning and turning over the whole world with their Pentecostalism and their gifts which will condemn them because they turned down the word. They dared to use that which could be condemnatory when within their reach was everything which was commendatory, and then they could have gone to the gifts. But he said, depart from me, I never knew you. But on their right hand, he said, just a minute. You visited me when I was in the prison. You helped me when I was sick. You gave me food when I was hungry. You gave me water when I was thirsty. When did we do that? Ah, the least of these little ones. The bride never was anything but shoddy and muggy and stupid and idiotic and nothing to be looked upon. And neither was he. There was no beauty we should desire him. But there was beauty here. Oh, yes. And Eve saw it and, oh, my, she desired. Ha-ha. And men still desire beautiful women and women beautiful men. And women run for the men that have notoriety and sports and everything else, a bunch of groupies. And they're acting like confirmed idiots and serpent seed, which they are. But the bride doesn't do that. Now, we named you all these things in here. There was our righteousness. There was our healing. And there was our sanctification. And there was our peace. And there was our banner. Right on down the line. Now, every single thing in here that came from God went both directions. Had to. They had to, because they're both leading in worship. And to lead in worship, there must be unanimity. And the unanimity must come from God. And when it comes from God, it must be declared by God and put in the code, which is the Word of God. Because only God would know how he wants worship. So, all right, we've got coming on this side. Over here. So what happens? Back here in the form of Michael, It was already established that he would embrace all of this for all the sons. And this was available over here through all creation. And remember, when we're talking of sons, we're talking of life. We're talking of the seeds within the life, which would come forth in a manifestation all down through the ages. And over here you have the same thing. But what did Satan do? Every one of these things is perverted. The God who heals, Satan brings sickness. The God who brings life, Satan brings death. He perverted and twisted every single thing. So, we then in our negativity can come back to Christ to the positivity, but these here can never take the positivity and their negativity. They will only take the blessings which God has placed upon this earth. And they'll use them continuously against God. So that you cannot have anybody today, any politician, any businessman, anybody outside of bride who can make a quick decision. Now I'm going to illustrate you. How long do you think it's going to take before the stock market falls? I'll give it 6 months. Now I'm not a prophet, I'll tell you why. Right today, Asia is going to be bankrupt. One case in point is Motorola. I think it lost 28% of its value because they had a lot of market in Asia and there's no money to buy the product. Today, China, Indonesia, Siam, all of the East, Hong Kong even, has lost power. They don't have the money to buy the goods they're producing, so they're going to flood America. Now, America seems strong to Europe, and it'll flood also Europe. It seems as though, because of the economy and the stock market, we're winning, but we're not. Because we are exporting our jobs to Mexico and every place where the wages in America are $10 and to $20, they're 75 cents an hour. Now with the jobs gone, we can't buy anything. So you tell me the stock market's not going to go around the world, the whole thing's not going to flop, I give it 6 months. I'm not saying it couldn't take 18 months, 2 years, God knows, I don't know. But I want you to know this. There is no way to stop the inevitable crash. Because deflation has to step in. Now the point is, when the whole world goes, you can talk about euro dollars, American dollars, anything you want, it's gone. And they're going to need something, and it'll be gold, to ensure a market for marketable goods. So, well, I got gold. I don't care how much gold. You're going to have a ton of it. They'll only take it from me anyway. So I got a bunch of new $20 bills stashed away. That's fine. They'll say, where'd you get them? We want them. You realize the Bible said you won't buy or sell without the mark of the beast? How much pressure will there be coming on this earth before they close the doors and everything else? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. In the light of the present situation, unless something develops, which I cannot see developing, and there's no nation seeing it developing, because they're all crying for a strong man, and everybody admits that the Churchills are gone, and even the Thatchers. It wouldn't be any good to have a Roosevelt. He's the guy that knocked us off the gold system anyway. Messed everything up. Simply made it a commodity. Now, I'm with him in this respect. You can't eat gold. You can't drink gold. I'd sooner a bushel of wheat than a ton of gold any day. Well, the wheat's not all that good for you. It's not all that bad either. So, all right, we got all this beauty and all this glamour and all this glory. We got all the economy. Oops. I don't know if my pens are any good. I'm just running. Well, I'm running out of juice the same as my pens are. And not what I used to be. I'm not as tough. Okay, they got the economy. All right. All right, the devil sent the whirlwind out of the north, didn't he? The devil sent the earthquake. The devil's in control. Now, at one time, Jesus Christ was in control because he owned absolutely one half of it, of what the Father had. Now, he will own one half. It's very simple. He was the firstborn, and the firstborn is heir to one half of all the goods of the Father. But it's not only just that. Remember, God, by Christ Jesus, created all these things, so therefore Jesus was an instrument of creativity of wealth. Huh? Sure he was. So therefore he's worth 50%. Anybody knows that, right? He's worth 50%. Now, all of this that he had would come on down here and came down through Adam. But what happened? The devil came along here, and he took it all over. And when he withstood Jesus and said, I'll give you all of this you see here, all the kingdoms, they're yours to worship me. Jesus never said they're not yours. They were his. And he said, but I won't worship you. Now, therefore, the devil he has to worship. He's involved in worship. He was created to lead in worship, but now he wants worship for himself. And that's why I say here, when Brother Branham said that Satan was co-equal with God, there's no way that Brother Branham was obviating the Son. He didn't put the Son out of the picture by saying that the devil was co-equal. Therefore, my understanding of Brother Branham said, as I taught you last night, there are three involved. And it's literally a three-way split. Where God maintains his integrity, and his integrity lay in a covenant. And when man despoiled that covenant, he had to give it over to Satan. So now Satan controls everything that lies in the realm of the created and the natural. And remember, Satan was a created being. And remember, the beast of the field was a created being. He was subtle. He was clever. He was a smart one. He had more brains than Adam and Eve did even. And people often tell about the reptile, how smart he is. He has no legs, and yet he can outrun many things. He has no fins, yet he can swim in the water. He has no tail like a monkey and feet, yet he can climb a tree. And they'll tell you many, many things. And always, the snake has been depicted as one with wisdom. So we have a symbology, not necessarily an accurate estimation. But anyway, all of this in here, you see, is legally his, and so therefore, if he took this from this, and this was equal to this in the sense of the inheritance, then there is a co-equality. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Yeah, there's a co-equality. But not simply grasping that thought of co-equality outside of being a creator and say, okay, it's 50-50. Now, you can't eliminate the Son. You can't do it. You can't stop the fact that before he took it over in the garden, took it over, it belonged there. And Satan is the god of this world. That makes it 50-50. Right? It makes it worse than 50-50. Because 99.999 will go to the devil. So I want you to get as clear as I can what I had in mind when I brought this to you last night. Now, this is Lee Dale talking. This is not William Branham. I merely quote William Branham and try to show you why I know what he said was very, very correct, and you can take it back to Scripture, and you can find it. You can think upon it, and you will get an answer. And I don't believe my answer is off, because I don't want to just answer a question for the sake of somebody getting some kind of an answer. When Abraham and Sarah were seen after resurrection, all they said, we've got to get out of here. Who saw them? I don't know who saw them, but you better believe that there were people astute enough to recognize them. You know, who would recognize them? I believe the elect would recognize them. and even a possibility of some who weren't in the election but would be classified as foolish virgin, they could recognize him. But I cannot honestly say that. But I want to add this word to you. Since Brother Branham said heaven is not up. Heaven's in a dimension because of the vibration, or the whatever you want to call it, the speed. And he said, it's just out here. And he said, you begin thinking of somebody you loved, a departed saint that you loved. Pretty soon you feel a sweet spirit come in the room. That's that person's spirit. I don't doubt what Brother Branham said for 1 minute. And I do believe that heaven is a dimension. So where are the people that rose with Christ? Here in a dimension. I wouldn't be surprised they sat down at dinner with me someday and I missed something off my plate. I don't know. In other words, I'm telling you it's real. Don't get any cockeyed ideas, in some unsubstantiated thing in your mind. Well, this is a little ethereal thought. This is a little ploy, a little game. We're not playing games. They're raising the dead. And since the human bodies eat and drink, and Brother Branham said in the vision beyond the curtain, the time where he was literally caught up the way the Apostle Paul was, they couldn't eat and drink. They could shake hands and hug each other and have a great time and recognize each other, but they couldn't eat and drink. Well, these are resurrected. Are they eating and drinking? Why not? What's to stop them? See, let your thinking go. Get away from Satan's kingdom. Hey, his kingdom here before he took over was fabulous, and it still is. But it's messed up. All right. Thomas said in John 20:28, on the resurrected Jesus, my Lord and my God. Well, the point is this. You have to know that Lord and God can be used simply in the expression of sincere adoration, admiration, and respect for the position. So, when Thomas said that, it's not necessary to believe that he was under the influence of the Holy Spirit to the extent that God was giving him a revelation the same as he gave to Peter when Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So, if we go to John 20 and 28 and read that, 28, wrong chapter. And Jesus said unto him, And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus and Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. That's after he put his finger in the side of Jesus. Now, when he found that it was the Lord, it evoked this from him. But it doesn't mean that was truly of the Holy Ghost. Because all you got to do is read 30 and 31. And many other signs did Jesus and the present disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So the one that wrote this did not agree, as though Jesus were Father and Son in one person, and the Son was the Father, and that was God. It doesn't say that. No matter what Thomas says, the scribe that wrote this puts in here that you may know that the inspiration that whatever Thomas had here was not the correct understanding that you might think he had, or you might have another understanding from what he said, because it says right here, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God. So he's not saying my Lord and my God, and obviating the Son, or making the Son the Father. And he's not making the Son God. It's impossible. Because there's your clarification right there. And you may have life through his name. What name? The name of Jesus, the Son. Now remember, the Father and Son have the same name. But it's the Son that you come through. Okay, so therefore, when you think of the word theos in there, deity, is not just a matter of making it a god. It's a judge, a magistrate, a person of authority, a civil officer, and one of great importance. And so what he was saying, you are mine now, you are my complete authority. And he could be saying the same as they said in the time of Moses, you become God to me. But Jesus is not God. He's the Son of God. Sons have beginnings. It's the only difference. The tent vision. Do you explain the tent vision? No, I can't do that. All I know, the tent vision is one of three visions, a composite. And as far as I know, it takes place in the resurrection. I don't know anything else about it. Was Lee Dale in the tent preaching? No. No, Brother Branham said if he had a physical tent, he wanted me in Bankwoods to be with him. Foolish virgin. Who is the foolish virgin? Does she have a true word and no Holy Spirit, which is oil? Has her vessel gotten smoked up from oil going up? Because she does not have the correct word, which actually contains the oil. That's more like it. Could this also possibly be the one who sat under false teaching and the woman cut her hair? To me, this is a hybrid fit for the burning, yet only God may know the heart. All right. The foolish virgin, Brother Branham said a virgin is a virgin. It's like taking a bolt of cloth. And the tailor takes a bolt of cloth, lays it on, puts a pattern on it. And then he cuts the cloth according to the pattern. The cloth that is in the pattern is identical to the cloth that's left out as a remnant. But the one is not cut according to the pattern, which would be cut out by God, by His word, and be the true bride. Now, they're both virgin. What happens? He said, we don't have any oil in our lamps. And that's true. Because the light is given, the word is given, for a certain time, the life goes out of that word, and Brother Branham even said it is bread that is full of wiggletails. Little bugs, little me's. So therefore, this virgin that is foolish has a word that is not for the hour. It's a word that's fulfilled. It's finished. Like Luther brought justification. And in a short order, 3 years, all it took, takes Brother Branham said. 3 years. And it's perverted. And then it goes down the road. But it doesn't mean the essentiality of the light that was in it is gone. The people could still be born again because it takes just that one little bit of light. If 15,000 sperm can be counted across the cross section of a human hair to bring forth life, how much spirit does it take to get you to be born again? Don't even think about it. And the life is in the word. My brother Branagh said the little woman that has one tape can go make it, and maybe one with 100 tapes don't even get near it. I think he said 3 tapes, called her washerman. So, Brother Branagh said the foolish virgin is in the organizations. So where would they be? They could be there where the people actually hold to the doctrine, justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost, restoration of gifts, restoration of the Holy Spirit. Could be in all of those that are in organization. And therefore, they will have to give their lives in the Great Tribulation. And you will find that in the Scripture. The oil has gone out of their lamps, and they're cast into utter darkness. And Brother Branham always equated that to the Great Tribulation. And if you read the Scripture carefully, in the book of Revelation, you'll find in the fourth age, under the Roman Catholic Church, in the period of darkness for roughly about, 400 to 900 years about, a terrible number of years in darkness, he said, I gave you a chance to repent, but you wouldn't do it. You listened to the prophetess Jezebel, and now I will cast you and your children, bring upon you the second death, which is the lake of fire. So therefore, all the ones that were born after the Roman Church gave way to the light, not all of it now, just part of it, under Luther, and then Luther, Wesley Restoration, and now at the end time, all of those in there will come into the second death, not every single one, because there's repentance there, some change of mind, not every single one, but the system as a whole will be. But it says they will go into great tribulation. So at the end time, the rejectors will go into great tribulation, And Brother Branham said they'll be hunted down and shot like dogs and killed off. And remember, they will. They will die. The bride will be out of here because she doesn't go through the Great Tribulation. Now, if I take you to a book over here, to the Psalms, 119, we look at 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, we're talking about lamps, and it's the word. So if the lamp no longer is bearing light, the light of the word is gone out. And that's what you're looking at. The people haven't moved on. The light has moved on in the wheat from the sprout to the forming of the actual grain itself, and the last thing is the chaff. And it looks just like a wheat, but it's only a covering for the wheat. And Brother Branham brought that up. Also in Proverbs 6 and 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is right. So again, you see, the commandment is a lamp. Now, the commandment itself is a lamp. It's a shell. But as Brother Branham said, if you don't have the dynamics with the mechanics, your car won't go. And neither can you have the word useful, util to you, in the sense of redemption, unless there's life in it. So you don't preach Luther's message. You don't preach Wesley. You don't preach the Pentecostal with Mrs. McPherson and Charles Parham and that gang. Not for 1 minute. You'll find yourself messed up more than you'll ever believe you could be messed up. You've got to get to the word in which there's life. And Brother Branham said, no message has life in it, will come to life but this one. So this one alone has resurrection power. See, the life has passed on, and is now in a bride. And remember, God had to appear to Abraham before Sarah was rebuked and Abraham's faith brought to full fruition so they could have, and Sodom had to burn before the Son could be manifested in human flesh, the promised Son, which we're looking for, the promised Son. And there cannot be any coming forth of Christ upon this earth until the bride has a spiritual sexual affair with God to, through the word, be it unto according to thy word, to bring forth the resurrection, the rapture, the burning, and the coming down to earth. Okay. We could also go to Exodus 30. We don't need that really, but we can go to Exodus 30. And I guess it's 7 and 8. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, or perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. And we're in the last day when the lamp is lit. The last lamp is lit. And incense is poured upon it. And I believe that incense is the lives of the bride poured upon it with the lit word, live, die, sink, swim. And it's a perpetual light because there is a bride receiving this word who positively will be in the rapture, will not die. And when you talk about that, you can remember, like we had a dedication this morning here, we're looking at, in this particular case, the third generation. And we have a lot of third generation, some even to a fourth. Now remember, it's a fourth generation, which is deliverance, for deliverance. It came out of Egypt. And five being grace, it was a group of children born and under 20 years of age with only two elderly ones going into the millennium, promised land. So we're getting there. Yep, that's what the foolish virgin's all about. In your series on stewardship, it's been very plain there are two aspects of believer's life. The first aspect out of our hands being the work of God. Example, God's coming with His Son, our election, predestination, new birth, spiritual revelation, etc. Being called the bride. Second aspect pertains to that portion of our Christian life for which the responsibility and stewardship is in our hands, over which we can receive not or not receive reward depending on how you can lose your rewards and even lose your position, which could have been yours. Remember Judas now, but his book was taken out of the book of life, and he wasn't bribed. Knowing that neither legalistic approach nor emotional approach can assist in accomplishing our stewardship, my question is, how can we fulfill our stewardship and realize our true potential in time that remain to us? Well, I've actually talked about that. And you find that in I read it over here in Galatians, the second chapter. And in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is an actual statement of truth. It is actually a statement of absolute truth. This does not belong to the Apostle Paul. It belongs to us. 100%. This is where we stand. I have been crucified with Christ. My hands, my feet are pinioned. I have only one thing left, and that is my sensibility, my mind, and I must exercise my mind, because I can't do anything and go anywhere. And so therefore now, I'm only living by the living word of Almighty God that is within me, and that is what I have. And if that living word of God is within you, it can't help but manifest absolutely. For we find over here in Ephesians, the third chapter, and in verse 20, and it says, now unto him is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. In the literal translation, according to the working of his power, and he is working that power within us. So therefore God, because he gave us this life, our life is hid with Christ in God. It means only one thing. God is in charge. And if we recognize that, it says, now unto him that's able to exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. You can't ask it, you can't even think it. It'll be only given to you, whereby you can think and you can act, by the Spirit of the living God within you. Now right off the bat, there are people who say, power, 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 talk in tongues, interpret, we'll do wonderful works, we'll do this, we'll do that. How about just being a nice guy and cheerfully forgiving? How about going to the hospitals, visiting the sick? How about giving a drop of cold water? How about doing what you're supposed to do instead of trying to think some little thing you want to do? There's going to be some big thing, and the bride is going to have, just like a guy was preaching a funeral sermon down here, a friend of mine down here in the Carolinas, and he said, we're waiting for the ministry of the Son of Man. And he said, the seventh seal isn't open. You got to be nuts. Brother Branham said in the seals, there was silence, but it's open. Then he said, it's not open to the public. And then he said, the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7, open to the public, and nobody got it. Except a few knotheads like you and me. Smart guys missed it. You ever heard the smart guy? Oh, yeah, Bigel, he's just mental. Well, hallelujah. And my brain is going to get more and more baptized with the Holy Ghost by the Word of God. The more I put in my... I'm going to Brother Branham said, if you want to get truly full of the Holy Ghost, you pile word upon word. And your brain is a part of your body, and your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And my Bible tells me to bring every thought into captivity and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is up here in your noggin. Word by word. That's how you get your brain baptized with the Holy Ghost. So one preacher said to Harold Marcon, trouble you, Harold, and all the preachers like you, all you can talk about is the prophet and the word. So Norty doesn't believe the seven seals open. Norty believes the presence is garbage. Now Brother Brannon comes back and should visit that church. He can say, you know it. Well, I could unload a few things right now, but it's not best to talk on tape. Not best to talk on tape. Don't worry. I can't say enough as it is. Run my mouth off. Just let that go. Now, I can't go beyond the prophet. He said, just lie in the sun and ripen. What do you mean, lie in the sun and ripen? He said the word came up by the Holy Spirit, and he likened it to a stalk of wheat. And we are those grains. So lying in the sun means what? Resting on what you've got. Believing it thoroughly, acting according to it. What is the fast of God? To take away the loads and laborious condition of people. To help them. As Brother Branham said, you serve God by serving your brethren, you love God by loving your brethren. So this is what it's all about. Get with the people of God, enjoy them, love them, and help them. And the people that want to act like Ananias and Sapphira to take advantage of you, God will deal with them. You've got a man sitting here that knows what I'm talking about, Frank Proctor. If he ever unloads on you and tells you what people have done to him and he did nothing in return, you will understand what I'm talking about. To the point of trying to kill him. And he's not Martin Luther King, don't worry. He's not trying to become some great person any more than I'm Gandhi. We're not trying to be great people. It's just to be what God wants you to be. And you got to take it on the chin many times. All right, over here in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 10. Now, brethren, if a man be overcome in the fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, concerning thyself, lest thou be tempted. Moses was the meekest man alive, not the weakest man. He was the meekest. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, you think you're born again and you're not, you're deceived. And who's the deceiver? Satan. And he's going to pile upon you every one of these things here, making you believe you got them when you don't have them. He's got to do that because this was up here when he was up there. And this never changes, and he's got to lead in worship. And he's got to superimpose himself. So he'll make everybody think they got it. What if some of these famous people like Frank Sinatra come to and they meet some of the Catholics like the Pope that led him astray? Is he going to say, hey, Pop, I thought, are you sure this is heaven? It's a joke, but I'm going to tell you it's deadly serious. And I can afford to be a little bit rough on these things. Because every time you pick up a paper or hear any news, all the great eulogies of these filthy people, they're looking down from heaven. They're looking up from someplace else. Don't tell me liars and whoremongers and the rest are going to inherit the kingdom of God, because my Bible says no. Now, let every man prove his own works, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not another. How are you going to prove your works? You got to go to the Word. I know a little girl came to our church over there when we were in over in Sydney. And she told her dad, she said, oh my, she said, I don't like that church at all. It's not like ours. You know, she said, there's a spirit, you know, there's a spirit. What about her dad's church? If I were to judge his church, I'd judge it by the Word. Where is the Word? Jesus only. Come on. Come on. You better get to know what spirit really is, not a hip or a hallelujah, feel good thing. Don't tell me the vessel that hung upon the cross that harbored Almighty God Himself. Oh, hallelujah, feel great. Yeah, it's great. Give me some more lashes. Or the sin of the people falling on. Oh, what a wonderful feeling. The sin's all coming upon me. Isn't that nice? Huh? Come on. I shouldn't preach like this, but I've got to, because people just don't understand. It's word, 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 word. And it's set in stone. And now God is a rock. You know, lava is rock under pressure. Try to put God under pressure. He that falleth upon the rock shall be broken. A vessel opened up to receive the Holy Ghost, but he upon the rock, whom the rock falleth, shall be ground to powder. People don't understand the Word of God. Let every man bear his own burden. Live an independent life. Stand up and be counted. It can be done. It can be done. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. That's supply of the ministry. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, just like David did. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. That's your answer to that question. All right. When Brother Branham described a little light forming, could you please touch on this? Did this one that formed play any role in Jehovah appearing before Abraham? That's a good question. That's the thing concerning what I call crossovers. When was the Son in manifestation? When was the Father? But Brother Branham absolutely talked about Elohim meeting with Abraham. That was not the Son. That was Elohim. But I can't go any further than that. Sometime I'll try to make a study to see what we come up with. The last question we have here. Some of the younger people have not heard your message on body, spirit, and soul. Will you please touch on the difference between the spirit and soul? All right, number one, that is the soul producing the body, the spirit coming in at birth, the difference between the souls of the seed of God and the seed of the serpent, which would Ezekiel's chapter 18 and 4 in Matthew 10, 28 refer to. That would refer to souls, period, which is in Matthew, it says that fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both, cannot destroy the soul, but the one who can destroy both body and soul in the lake of fire. And also Ezekiel said, as the soul of the Father, so is the soul of the Son mine. All souls are mine, saith the Lord. And now you wouldn't have to, that verse in Ezekiel, say, though God is saying all souls are mine, they all came from me. That would not be true, because all souls did not come from God. It's only those in the elect that came through Adam. And remember, everyone in Adam that died, everyone is made alive. That's wise and foolish virgin both. There's no problem there. And you can have your name taken out of the book of life, not the Lamb's book of life. Because the book of life is a complete record. It started with Lamb life, and then the interjection came in where there's simply light. And you'll find that everyone in Adam, there's no one that doesn't make it. Absolutely not. There's no way possible. No way. Any more than a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog for 6,000 years and 100,000 generations. So it would be with God, Son of 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 God, born 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 of God, for a billion generations. The Bible says 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations would be 40,000 years. The Old Testament was 100 years in the days of Abraham. 1,000 generations would be 100,000 years. All right, let's take a look at the picture here if we can get it. We're going to talk about body, soul, and spirit, Brother Branham. Brother Branham followed Larkin very, very closely until the day came when God showed him different. Now, everybody said, according to Paul, you're sanctified body, soul, and spirit. And so, therefore, we have the body on the outside, and, of course, everybody put the soul on the inside because Paul said, sanctified body, soul, and spirit. Now, the point of the matter is, when Paul put it that way, it would only mean that the spirit would come into sanctification in the third place. It didn't mean that the spirit would be in the third place according to the biology or the physiology. So out here you have the body, which is flesh. That's the crust. So coming in here then, this is the spirit. And down in here then, this is the soul. Now, I just explained that to you. Remember, the Bible said you may be sanctified, wholly sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. And Brother Branham said the same thing. He used every single attribute that Mr. Larkin used. Now, if you want to understand attributes, we just go back to the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. Now, in the 16th chapter, it tells you about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, people say this is not a parable. I contend different. I believe it's a parable. I don't know that Brother Branham said it was or wasn't. There was a rich man clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously. A beggar named Lazarus was his door, fed with the crumbs that fell from the man's table. Dogs licked his sores. The beggar died, was carried to Abraham's bosom. Rich man died, was buried, and in hell the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. Now notice right there, he's repenting. Here's a soul in hell, and he's repenting. That he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, I'm tormented in flame. But you see, that couldn't be literal in my books, but just forget it. Abraham said, Son, remember thou in that good time received good things. He had memory. He could repent, he had a memory. You see, and he could discern. He had good things, he had evil things. Lazarus is comforted and you're tormented. And beside this is a great gulf fixed. And then he said, I would pray thee, therefore, Father, you would send him to my brother's house. He has remorse. He's got some love in there for his people that are still living. So you see, The soul actually has tremendous attributes within it. And the spirit also has attributes. And when Brother Branham first preached on this, he put the attributes of the soul on the outside, as according to Larkin, and he put the attributes of spirit on the inside. But later on, to my knowledge, he never ever changed the attributes except the position. Now, this puzzles me very greatly, because I see in here Luke 16, and I see in the soul memory, repentance, a certain type of affection, and so on. See? But that's beside the point. I am not interested in what lies within what. All I know is Brother Branham correctly said it. The soul is on the inside. Now the spirit, of course, where does the soul come from? The soul came from God. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. So if Adam became a living soul, what will his children be? Living souls. Huh? And Brother Branham categorically said it was not a puff of wind, it was the Holy Ghost. So this man Adam received the Holy Ghost in order to bring forth children of God. That is the purpose. And that is the purpose of procreation. Absolutely bring forth children. Not the Mormon crap. Forget about that junk. But the actual truth is, that's the reason he created a male and female. Now notice, the spirit is not born. Soul is born. Born. And reproduces through created channels. Okay. The spirit is not born. Created. It is given. No, allowed of God. But not of God. Why? Because this is already of God. So why would he give you something of God to bring you forth in this earth? It's when you are a child of God, brought forth by God through natural channels, created channels that God has, then he will give you of his spirit sealing you in. See? Because when you are in this condition here of a soul without the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you can be fooled by all of this, by this guy over here that I showed you, that he is a direct enemy of God and the perverter of everything that lies in God, that in the negative lies in us to bring us to God and fulfilled in God. So he's going to pull a phony on you. Now, therefore, The man bears the seed. The woman also bears the seed in this respect. What she contributes is a product of her body, the same as the sperm is a product of the man's body. And the two together produce a child. And that in a type, right there, is the child coming forth from the two people making one, and the source being God, then God putting his blessing on them, binding him back to himself by the Holy Spirit. So that when you come forth as a born child with the soul, part of God, you are now able to receive the life of God upon you to the end that you will become immortal or resurrected. Because the baptism with the Holy Ghost is not only the light, the light of God through the Word coming into your soul, but it is a guarantee, the warranty of your immortality. That's why the Holy Spirit runs out in the last age, because there's nobody else to be immortal in the bride upon this earth at that particular time. The rest will come forth in a resurrection with bodies that are suited to whatever their capacity is. And Brother Branham brought that to our attention. So, okay, this is created and allowed of God, but not of God. And this spirit here, now this is completely physical. This is completely spiritual. So, you now have a disparity. You have a complete spiritual within here. You have a complete physical out here. And the physical created and at this point degraded to the flesh of animal. There is a disparity there that is horrible. And that disparity started after the fall. Now remember, Adam and Eve already had their spirits when God breathed Adam the breath of life. So now at this time, Brother Branham categorically said, and we believe him 100% true, that when the baby drops down from the womb, the baby now down here, this spirit comes in. And that spirit strictly animates the flesh. And now joins the physical to the spiritual. So that whatever comes in by your five senses can now be translated into the spiritual, because by living the life for Christ through this word, you exercise your senses unto godliness. So that the body does not respond to sin. We've been dead to it. How shall we therefore respond? So this is what your spirit and your soul and your body is all about. And that's where we find ourselves. Now, to be simply born as a child of God is not enough in itself. There must be empowerment. And so therefore the power of God falls upon us, going directly to the soul, permeating the whole body as we add word to word and word to word and word to word and word to word. And you're full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, being filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in spiritual psalms and hymns. In other words, using the Word of God in your mind and singing spiritual psalms, making your mouth bring forth the testimony of the Holy Spirit Word in your soul, coming up to your own spirit into your mind, and you repeating it, going down again, bringing it forth, you begin more and more filled with the Spirit of God. That's why at the end time, God looks down upon the people due for immortality as no other time in 6,000 years of history, and he's listening to what they are saying. And he said, that's my bride. They're my jewels. They're not praying. They're talking. Your praying isn't worth a hoop in a hollow if you're out of the Word. All you can do is end up in a coercive position, taking the promises, bulldozing your way through, and remember, emotion can swing into faith. So if you get high enough, sipping and jumping and screaming, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, 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 get carried away, you can be perfectly healed. I know what I'm talking about. I've studied the books. Don't worry. I've seen it happen in meetings. Brother Branham condemned it. That's why he wanted people to just believe the Word and be healed. He wanted the Word to be everything, because everything is the Word, because we know nothing whatever about God except vindicated Word. We don't know anything. We just think we do. You can look at nature and say, I know there's a God. Sure, you know there's a God. Aha! The devils also know and tremble. Acknowledging God, admitting to God, is not worship, my brother, my sister. Oh, I believe in God. Hallelujah. 80% of the people believe in God. Bless God. Yes, we do. Doesn't mean one thing. Condemns you. Acknowledgement is not worship. Admitting is not worship. Worship is giving way to the admission of the supreme authority, who is your Father and your God. Not in that order, I beg your pardon, who is your God and your Father. So that you not only have one above you who is supreme, but he loves you, protects you, and cares for you. Even as he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that worship him or obey him? And he also said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost than obey him? And how do you obey him? Repent, be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And step by step, word by word, you're baptized the Holy Ghost that instant. Oh, yes, you are. God can't lie. You don't have to tarry. You don't have to this and do that. They instilled that thought of tarrying in your mind. That's why you believe it. It's not in the Word of God. Forget it. The tarrying was over at Jerusalem. The 40 days gone, 50 days gone. Rather, let's have the Holy Ghost now. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, and pile word upon word upon word upon word. And if you had any kind of regeneration from God, a true baptism, you will hunger for the Word. I remember when I believe I received the Holy Ghost, the Bible opened up. I said, my, where did this verse come from? I only read it about 100 times. Oh, look what it says here. How marvelous. Check with anybody that claims he's born again. Check with anybody. You say you're born again, you can't stand this Word. This Word is not your light. This is not your joy or everything. Oh, come on. Something's wrong somewhere, sure not with God, I can tell you that. Okay. Now, the difference between the souls of the seed of God and the seed of the serpent. Well, to begin with, the serpent had a seed, but he didn't have a soul. He had a place for a soul. And if he had a place for a soul, you better believe that there's nothing in this universe that God made that has a place and doesn't have something to place in it. Why would there be a place for a soul if somewhere not down the road there'd be a soul? Why would you build a granary in your field out here if you weren't going to get a crop? Why would you women go down if you didn't go down and buy some dry goods? Beautiful material for a dress if you weren't going to make a dress. Why'd you buy a sewing machine if you're not going to use it? Why buy a camera if you're not going to take pictures? Why go to even Kentucky Fried Chicken if you're not going to eat fried chicken? Why would there be a place for the soul? No. And if not, the soul later on. Now let's get this right. This man's soul here is nothing, I beg your pardon, I use the term nothing more nor less, but is intrinsically, use that because it's a little better English, better nicer, is intrinsically the life of God, of which life is encased in sperm for multiplication, which 15,000 go across the diameter of one hair. Over here, the woman also is a part of Adam, who's a part of God. And she's produced an egg, which is, how many go across her? You know anything about biology? Don't you remember? I know the egg is so much larger, it's actually, I think, hundreds of times bigger than the sperm. But all right, let's face it, this is not something that is dead. There is in it quality from this woman's life that came from the man that came from God to come together with this to bring forth this child down here. Therefore, it is all of God. Providing it is a foreknown, pre-elected, predestinated seed. When Brother Branham said a virgin birth is nothing compared to God picking you and me 6,000 years later, when the male ejaculate, they tell me, in one lifetime could actually miles into... One fellow said it was thousands of miles. I can't believe that. Computer mind of God. No wonder Brother Branham said, God knew how many fleas there would be, how many times they'd bat their eyeballs, and how many it would take to make a pound of tallow. Phew, I can see that right now when I understand this here. Now, but over here, here's the beast. He has a place for a soul. Now remember, soul is life. Soul is life when it comes to the human race. And without a soul, life is still life and is commensurate to and parallels soul life. So there's soul life and there is spirit life. The spirit life is animal life. But in this animal life created, there was a place for a soul. Oh, here. Place for a soul. Didn't have one. Now, Eve did not have that which begets. He had that which produces with that which begets. So what happens? This one sperm is so close to her that this woman with a true soul has an egg which does not have a soul, because the male has a soul. See? So what happened? The beast gets with her, and you have in here that place for soul is now filled, and it's not a soul, actually, it is a life. And so that's why theologians and Brother Branham never use the term soul for animal life. Yet I can go to my Bible and show you in the Old Testament where the word soul is in that position, one or two places. It could be a misinterpretation or maybe not. But Brother Branham made a very, very wonderful comment. And he said, inside of the inside and the inner soul. And so therefore now, beast, seed have souls. All souls belong to God in the sense that he owns them by reason of creation and by reason of responsibility and his sovereignty. And the devil has control and is manipulating. God still owns those souls. So therefore, you have here what we know then as the inner soul. So, all right. Why would Brother Branham use that term? Because now humanity is all one lump of flesh. One lump of flesh, just one big lump. If science proves it, 99.99% had one father, 0.00%, whatever, had another father, but all had one mother. See? So now you have everything that's human, or called human, has a soul. And it will be actually a hybrid life. There will be the true soul, the inner soul. There will be what is called a soul, but and is a soul in the sight of God, and we have to give credit there. But it is actually, if you get right down to the pure statistical data, it is combination of two lives. Now you go through your New Testament, and you'll find the term life, 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 life. You'll find eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. You'll find just life, 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 and you'll find a life cast into hell, a soul cast into hell. You'll have all of these things in there. You'll have a book of life. You'll have a Lamb's book of life, which is one book. That's a genealogy. You'll have life all the time mentioned. And in there, you deal with the soul. But the animals themselves, if they did have a soul, do not have inner soul. It is merely a life. The true life of God is a true soul. But God owns all the hybrids and all the... Now, that's the best I can tell you what Brother Branham taught. When I go to the Word of God, I can corroborate all the things he said about the soul and spirit, memory, love, affection, all those things there. I can find them. There's no problem. I dealt with them right here in one little chapter for you on some of them. But when he mentioned these things, and I look at them, my understanding is there. If any theologian rose up and said, look, I can tell you one thing. Brother Branham was wrong. Animals do have souls. I can find it right here. Say, just a minute. You forgot one thing. It's a different soul entirely. It's a different life. Because when it comes down to you and me, our soul is a part of God, which is God life. And God life came down upon us to give us a portion of his spirit. Of what? Of power and of love and a sound mind. He never gave us sovereignty. Mm-mm. No, he gave us a part of his power to overcome. He gave us a part of his love, which is a part of intrinsicality. It's all part and parcel of the same thing. It's just like talking attributes. You know, when you talk about the rose, automatically you think of a rose in an entirety. But in your mind, you know, it's got roots, it's got branches, it's got prickles, it's got leaves, it's got petals, it's got stamens, it's got a lot of these things about it, all the color. But a rose is a rose. And so when we talk about these things, we talk about the unity, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is love, power, that's, and wisdom, omniscience, omnipotence. We have a part of it. And remember, there's no testing given us. We have the wisdom to handle it. We have the ability to stick with it and come up on top. So I think that pretty well answers all the questions that you need to know here. I don't think there's anything else. I've covered every single question except one, which has to do with Godhead. And there were so many little points in there that were brought out that I set a little foundation a while back. And later on, next time, if there is a next time, We'll go into it. No more questions came in, so I feel I'm exonerated. And I hope you're well lubricated. Did you have some knowledge that been helpful to you? So, all right, let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Remember, communion service again will be the July the 4th weekend, which will be a long weekend. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the time and privilege you've had a gathering together in your name, which we want to honor. And now, Lord, that we know we've taken a look at your word through the Spirit of the living God, delved into what we might call the mechanical, which would be what we might say the analysis of what is before us, and we find of great satisfaction in knowing these things, because all now, through the analysis, the revelation, there comes all the mechanical with the dynamics together, and we know, Lord, that we are a living unit bride with you, moving forward, ready for what lies ahead, fully enabled, fully able, and zealous, and conquering and to conquer. Even though Antichrist goes forth conquering and conquer, we also, we are not one whit behind, but we are not nose to nose. We are way ahead because, Lord, you've already conquered and put everything in line for us, and we're resting on it. May each one here in this meeting, Lord, rest upon the truth of the reality that the prophet gave us by vindication. And may we, with faith, with love and joy, not only enjoy our fellowship with each other and our love made manifest, the greatness of God be amongst us, and we walk in the sweet fellowship in the light. So our fellowship now is not only sweet with each other, but our fellowship is with you as we walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. What a tremendous thing to know. Perfect perfection through the blood and by the word, through a fivefold ministry, which we do not exalt, but exalt the word. May your name be glorified, Lord, as the word takes precedence in everything, and we give you our lives a living sacrifice. Unto thee we owe everything, Lord. May we return it to you. Now unto the King immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory ascribed through Jesus Christ, our blessed mediator, intercessor. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.